low humidity, you have tremendous winds, particularly out of the west and south, and you've got a substantial amount of fuel, and that fuel is tinderbox dry.
At least four deaths are blamed on the fires. One death is blamed on the rainstorms that have pounded Northern California, and another is on the way. 1 to 2 inches of rains expected in lower elevations, with up to 6 inches in the state's coastal mountains.
That's going to cause renewed rises on the Russian and Napa rivers, as well as the Eel.
That is hydrologist Rob Hartman. The body of Jersey City, New Jersey police officer Robert Wynn has been found in the Hackensack River 4 days after he ran off a drawbridge. He was found by New York police diver John Drizel.
I was just happy to find a fellow officer, a brother officer, and give closure to their family.
The body of another officer was recovered soon after the accident. It happened on Christmas night. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
KFNX 1100 Phoenix.
KFNX News Time 4:02. A deadly pileup. From the KFNX newsroom, here's the latest big story news. I'm Joanne Terry. An early morning traffic accident ended with the death of a person. Phoenix fire rescuers were called about the accident near Broadway and 19th Avenue just after 6:30 this morning. Officials say it appears a small car rear-ended a semi-truck, then burst into flames. One person was killed and another injured, but authorities have not released any more information on the victims. A Buckeye police detective accused of misconduct had been fired. The allegations against Michael Haddad included having sex in the weight room of a high school and showing a sexually explicit video in a police briefing room. Haddad has apologized for what he calls poor judgment. He has until January 6th to appeal. Well, the flu season appears to be in full swing here in Arizona, and as correspondent Lee Powell tells us, hospitals and urgent care centers around the valley are being flooded with patients.
David Engelthaler with the Arizona Department of Health Services says the flu season has hit earlier than expected. He says there's a big difference between the flu and the common cold.
Influenza almost always has a fever, muscle aches, versus a cold where all you really see is a runny nose and maybe have some cough or a sore throat.
Engelthaler says it's not too late to get a flu shot. If you have the flu, you should stay home, wash your hands frequently, and drink plenty of liquids. Lee Powell, Phoenix.
Let's get another check on what's happening on our afternoon commute from the KFNX Traffic Center.
Well, again, good afternoon, everybody. I'm John Dorme here in the KFNX 1100 News Talk Radio Traffic Center. Let's see what's going on. Well, we have an accident working 83rd Avenue and Union Hills Drive. Also at 19th Avenue in Camelback. You're now approaching the clearing stages there. Also watch out for wreck Bell Road at Grand Avenue. On the freeways, northbound I-17 slowing from Thomas, making your way up toward Dunlap. Southbound I-17, a little slowing from Camelback down toward the stack. Also watch out for some slowing eastbound I-10 as you make your way from 51st Avenue down toward 27th Avenue, then westbound I-10, that's slowing from the stack, making your way out toward 27th Avenue there. And also watch slowing on the Superstition approaching Priest. We're sponsored by your local Dodge dealer. The choice is yours during the Dodge year-end event. You can choose from the Miles of Freedom plan or year-end bonus cash. So again, to select Dodge vehicles, visit your local Dodge dealer for great deals. And that's traffic. I'm John Dorme in the 1100 News Talk Radio Traffic Center.
Hi, everybody. Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Looks like we'll have a pretty good New Year's weekend despite the California storms. Any rain should stay north of the valley. We'll have periods of clouds from time to time, and high temperatures will lower to the upper 60s. I'm Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Currently in downtown Phoenix, it's partly sunny and 68 degrees.
Next news in 30 minutes or when it breaks on KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100. I'm Joanne Terry. You're up to date.
This is Arizona's News Talk leader, KFNX 1100 Phoenix.
Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Mac Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Mac Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D-Factor. The Mac Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Mac.
I've got the power! Hey, good afternoon, Phoenix.
I'm Mac Newton. And welcome to the Power Hour, another beautiful afternoon in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. Pistol, what's the temperature outside, my brother?
68 degrees, sorry.
That's 12 degrees below the Newton line. Ooh, my musical guest host, the one and only Al Jarreau. You guys are in for a treat. Hey, Pistol, you ever seen this guy live? He's awesome, brother.
Saw him at the Newport Jazz Fest.
I know, you had a treat, didn't you? Can't describe him. Can't describe him. He's a little different, man. This guy, he's one of the greatest. You know, in fact, George Benson told me he learned a lot about scatting, which is singing with music, making musical sounds with your voice, from Al Jarreau. You put Al and George. Oh, he's... One of the things that people don't know about Al Jarreau, great athlete. Yeah, he went to college in Wisconsin, played basketball, a particularly good basketball player. Actually got a degree in vocational rehabilitation, a master's degree from the University of Iowa. Moved to San Francisco originally to get a job doing that and started singing on the weekends with a group called the Indigos. And next thing you know, the blues gave way to, ooh, his career. That's what we're listening to. Al Jarreau, my musical guest host today. It is now 7 minutes past the hour. If you had to be somewhere at 4 o'clock, you're late, but that's okay. Stay right where you are. Settle down and listen to the Power Hour. Your first time on board, you're in for a treat. We got a great show for you guys today. We got Pistol behind the glass. And Jesse, how was your Christmas? You enjoyed it?
It's absolutely fabulous. Was Santa Claus? One of the best ever.
Really?
Really.
Really?
Well, really.
Santa Claus is all good to you and everything?
Very good.
You know, I know now why no one ever sees Santa Claus.
Why is that?
Because, you know, Santa Claus got a lot of work to do. And a study was done last week where they found out that in order for Santa Claus to get to every single house in the world, eat all those cookies, and drink all that milk, and get down all those chimneys, he's got to see 1,200 households a second. And when you're moving that fast, you can't be seen. So that's why.
I see.
So parents, when people say, why can't you see Santa Claus? You could be in the room when he shows up and you wouldn't see him. He's gone. 1,200 in a second. That boy's moving. I wonder how he stays so chunky. I was like, work. Must have a real slow metabolism or something. Got a great show on tap for you guys today. But first, our shout-outs, as usual, JC up there in San Fran, Nick and Roger in Denver, Jeff, Tim and Barry in Chicago. Heard it's cold up there.
Always.
Oh, pretty much this time of year. Vadeth out in Avondale. What is she doing out there? The Bevzilla and Bling in Scottsdale. And the Hotline G over in Tempe. What up with that? So, we got a great show. We're going to talk about today. Of course, we're going to bring out the 3-2 challenge. We've already got three people, and we'll get to it. But those of you, we send emails. We're going to do it that way. We're going to have prizes, the whole deal. I got a clarification to make on this responsibility thing we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, Jesse. Going to do that in the first half hour, second half hour. Balance between self-acceptance and self-esteem, and I'm going to give the listeners out there an exercise. And from what I can tell, from listening to the traffic report with Joe and Terry, I think that there's not a backup out there. So you guys can kind of just chill out now, you know, and enjoy your little 3-4 mile an hour trip. I just don't think I could do it every day for an hour on 101 or 202 or I-17 or I-10, any of the big byways out there. You know, every day for an hour each direction, couldn't do it, lose my mind. You know, sit out there and, you know, move in increments of 10 feet. You know, dealing with people jumping in. I couldn't do it. More power to those who can. So just sit there and be cool. Tune in to Mac Daddy. Chill out. We're going to take advantage of that university on wheels you're running around with. Thanks for the emails, gang, and keep them coming. Really appreciate them and appreciate all your comments and remarks, suggestions. You want to send me an email, send it to ntkd@macnewton.com. a couple of things I want to get out of the way right away before we get into today's stuff is to remind everyone that the store on my website is open for books. People are always asking, where can we get The D-Factor? Where can we get a copy of The Path to Power? Well, you can order it on the website. It'll be to you in a day or so. You know, very, very easy. And as we announced last week, first not right here on the Power Hour, my new restaurant, actually more of a kitchen, the upscale Mac Daddy's 3-2 Gourmet To Go, thank you, will be opening its doors somewhere around the mid-May, early June. We got our variances and site plan all approved, and we're ready to break ground and rock and roll.
Can't wait.
Oh, it's going to be fabulous. Another dream taking shape. You know, Al Jarreau, talking about Al Jarreau, this is a perfect example of someone who has a skill. And it's kind of, he's out singing with a group, you know, the Indigos on the weekends up in San Francisco, where he's working in his degree of career rehabilitation counseling. And just started working in a small jazz club. Next thing he knows, he meets George Duke. And George Duke says, you know, you got a voice. And in fact, it's not really a voice, it's an instrument. He uses it very, very uniquely, as we'll hear on some tunes later on in the show. But he kept hearing that from various people. So soon he decided to start an apprenticeship. And he started getting TV spots. George with Johnny Carson, Merv Griffin. Remember the Merv Griffin show?
Sure.
A lot of singers got their starts with Merv, because he, being a singer himself, he really liked to help young singers get along. Dave Frost, Mike Douglas, he appeared on the Mike Douglas show. And that's how he started his career. So those of you who've got talent out there, you know, if you really feel it in your heart, just don't sit down and let it pass you by. Act on it. Who knows, you could be the next Al Jarreau, or the first, you know, whoever you are. No, there was not an Al Jarreau before he came about. There was not an Al Jarreau type. If someone listening to him sing say, well, you know, your voice, no one's gonna, there's not a market for you. But there was a market for Al Jarreau. In fact, well, maybe there wasn't. He created one. You know, it's like when I opened up my physical fitness center. Now 18, 20 years ago, people were saying to me, no one wants to work out that hard. No one wants to get to the level of fitness that you demand. You know what, though? There are people who want to feel that level of fitness and health, just to feel it. And then there are those who want to go on and climb mountains and ride their bike across country or run in triathlons, or just recover from a debilitating illness or injury. There's a market for me. When I opened up my first Taekwondo studio, most of the people in Chicago couldn't even pronounce it. You must be crazy to leave your job. You know, this is a thing that people have to learn. And this is what the Power Hour is about. It's about getting in touch with your dreams. It's about being honest with that inner you and saying, this is something that I've really wanted to do. And I'm sick of listening to people tell me I can't do it, or you shouldn't do it because no one's done it before. Or that there's not a market for it. You're underestimating it. So what? What do you have to lose? Money? Money is a renewable resource. My great-grandma always told me, if the only thing you ever lose in money, you've never lost anything. If that's the only thing you ever lose, you've been one blessed child. You know, so go for it. This is a great thing to experience in this new year. Let's resolve today. Let's go after it with everything we've got. A little bit more of Al Jarreau's unique vocal style. You guys stay right where you are. This is the Power Hour. I'm Mac Newton. We will be right back after these messages.
Looking for a distant reach of friendship, a faster world. Thinking that your heart's desire, hungry for some Paris or Berlin, caught between the snow and fire. Will sweet karaoke love you?
KFNX 1100, Cave Creek, Phoenix.
Mac Newton on Taekwondo, a resource for peak performance.
Martial arts training has always been difficult, strenuous, and challenging to the body and the mind. It's supposed to be that way in order to make it special to the participants. The challenging nature of this type of training fuels self-discovery, which leads to self-knowledge and self-confidence. Although Taekwondo is viewed as a sport by some, to my way of thinking, it falls into the category of art. Its main attraction is not the competition, but the emphasis on the development of personal character traits such as courtesy, integrity, perseverance, and self-control. Students, particularly children, gravitate toward the growing feeling of personal power that can't be seen but comes from within and affects all areas of their lives, especially their social interactions. The physical techniques become a form of personal expression that helps the participants see themselves as physically strong, graceful, and capable. The punches, kicks, yells, throws, falls, and jumps also serve to relieve stress in a safe, healthy fashion.
For information on class schedules and rates, please log on to macnewton.com. The Power Hour is sponsored by Newton Fitness, Newton Taekwondo, New Fit Sports and Casual Attire.
Newton Fitness? For me? Come on.
Newton Fitness is for everyone. Well, maybe. Attitude is the determining factor. So, yes, it's for you if you have the right attitude.
What is the right attitude?
It means wanting more than just being okay. It means wanting to be the very best you can be. The very best you.
I'm not a professional athlete. I'm not even in very good shape. Can I still do it?
From the professional athlete looking to move to a higher level to the business professional looking to get back into shape, to the person totally unfit and unhealthy. Newton Fitness has a program for you. At Newton Fitness, we're in the health and performance business, not the weight loss business. For more information, call Nikki at 602-957-6492. That's 602-957-6492.
The Power Hour is sponsored by A Path to Power, A Master's Guide to Conquering Crisis, a book for the new millennium by Mac Newton with Michelle St. George.
This book will push you to explore a provocative and vital path that will stretch your mind and challenge you to unleash the extraordinary person inside you. If you're serious about life, you owe it to yourself to read this book. Here's what others are saying. Pat Murphy, head coach ASU baseball team, says this work is a must for anyone interested in getting busy living. Former two sports superstar Bo Jackson says to reap all the benefits that life has to offer, you must read this book. And Tony La Russa, manager of the St. Louis Cardinals baseball team, says Mac Newton is one of the most remarkable men anyone has ever met. You'll understand and appreciate why as you read this book.
To reserve your copy of A Path to Power, call 602-957-6492. That's 602-957-6492.
This is Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX 1100 Phoenix.
Oh, yeah, that's it, that's it, that's it. That's it,
baby.
Hey, Mom, what's your mama gonna say?
I don't know.
Trying to let you party like this guy.
Hey. Oh. Welcome back, gang. You're listening to the unique vocal stylings of one Mr. Al Jarreau, who I met personally last year as he appeared at the Celebrity Theater. Got to meet him, chat, learn some of these unique elements of his career. Very interesting person. We're listening to some cuts from his Breaking Away CD, which was released back in 81. And of course, you might recognize a couple of these. A couple of commercial successes there. Al Jarreau, my musical guest host on the Power Hour this beautiful afternoon in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. Welcome aboard. I'm Mac Newton. You know, we're heading into a new year, 2006. It's always exciting for me. And of course, some of you know we've got several exciting new projects on the board, Mac Daddy's. We're building a new shopping center there, Newton Center for Performance Excellence. Several other exciting goals on the drawing board. Very excited about 2006. 2005 has been a wonderful year. I hope you feel the same way about it and you're looking forward with the same enthusiasm and positive optimism for the things that you can create not the things that you can wait for to happen. That's why I chose to have Al as my guest host today, because his life represents that. I mean, he went to school to study vocational rehabilitation and started working in that area. I mean, he was an above-average student. Of course, he'd been singing in choirs and things since he was about 4 years old, but basically he was interested in getting into the business world. But in his heart was music. What's in yours? Is it dance? I mean, do you really want to open your own business? What kind is it? I've always said on the Power, I want to eat in your restaurants. I want to read your books. Go to your movies. Makes the world a better place when you fulfill everything you can be. And once you start, you can't quit. Once you start, don't quit. Most people quit. It's as simple as that. Most people quit. But actually, it's not really a secret that successful people never quit. And if there is a secret, it's that persistence is the main ingredient to winning at anything. It frequently comes down to being just that simple. Success hinges on simply never giving up. Calvin Coolidge said, "Nothing in the world can take the place of persistent. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men and women with talent. Genius will not either. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. The slogan, press on, has solved and will always solve the problems of the human race. You know, gang, it's been my experience that people don't really fail. They just quit trying. To quit while you're ahead, I think, is silly. To quit while you're behind is even sillier. I've heard it said that often it's not the wrong start, but the wrong stop that makes all the difference between success and failure. The measure of success is not being in the right place at the right time, or knowing the right people, or just being lucky. No, the measure of success is being able to conquer failure. The trouble with most of us, it's been said, is that we stop trying in trying times. Yeah, there's wisdom, even in puns. As I said before, most people quit. People who've made a habit of quitting see persistence as an optional extra in their lives. They learn to quit early and often. And you know what? For those of us who've decided to never give up, this is good news. You know why? Because it means that if we just keep sticking it out in a very short time, we'll be out front, because most people are quitters. Remember, this might sound silly, but a big shot is simply a little shot that kept on shooting. Refuse to quit. Never consider the possibility of the ultimate failure. Never give quitting any mental space. Decide in advance to hold on. No matter what happens, hold on. Refuse to quit. I have a saying for myself, I will never quit. Actually, I got it from Winston Churchill. He said, and he's the most famous word, the seven most important words he ever said, I'll never quit. I'll never, ever quit. Why? Because it's my choice. I'll never quit. You might quit. I'm never going to quit. And there's nothing you can do that'll ever make me quit. The longer you persist, the more convinced you will become that nothing will ever stop you. And soon, nothing ever will. A long time ago, about 5 years ago, I ran across this poem. And it's one of the most helpful poems that I've ever come across. I don't know who wrote it, so I guess it's written by that really popular poem and songwriter, Anonymous. What's his first name? Simply calls it Don't Quit. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. For life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when he might have won if he'd stuck it out. Success is just failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worst that you must not quit. Simply resolve to never give up. This will change your life forever like nothing else. Persistence is to the character of man as carbon is to steel. Jesse, I'm going to explain that to you just a little bit. And by the way, if you want to get a copy of that poem and to this essay, Persistence, it'll be on the website probably later today. My fabulous assistant back in the office, Nikki, we'll have that up for you guys and maybe up now. Who knows? But I'm going to explain that, what I said, that last sentence. Persistence is to the character of humans, men and women, as carbon is to steel. You see, steel is a unique element. It's very strong, yet it's flexible. It resists weather. It resists rust. It's very, very strong. It lasts for years. It's an incredible metal. But it's made out of iron, mostly. You basically add carbon to it, but not very much. As far as I can tell, in the little research I've done on it, I think you add something less than 1% carbon to iron ore, and you come up with steel. You don't add very much, but iron is very brittle. It's not very strong. It's not very flexible. You certainly couldn't use it to build the structure of a tall building as you do steel. The only thing to make the change is less than 1% of carbon. When you take the character that you have and your talent and you add in less than 1% element of persistence, you become an entirely different person. So sometimes you don't have to move to another city. You can take another course. Those things may be helpful, but maybe just add that element, that 1% of persistence, and that added to the character that you already possess may be enough to take you to that place that you've been dreaming about. And what better time to start than right now? What better time to start than right now? At the beginning of a new year, we get so many opportunities to start new, a new week, a new month, but certainly a new year. What a great time to set new goals, to bring out old ones that we didn't get and reestablish them is wonderful things to do. Before the break, we're going to tell you again about the 3-2 challenge, the 3-2 eating plan and the workout program. All the people that join, you're going to receive a workout DVD, instruction on the 3-2. You'll have to come to my studio and weigh in once a week to see the lovely Nikki. And we'll have prizes for 30 and 20 pounds. We're going to do this for 6 weeks. Send me an email at ntkd@macnewton.com. We now have three people have all registered. Vedith at 5'8", 185. Vina, 5'3.5", at 168. And Tim, 6'2", 252. I don't care what you're dealing with. You want to get on the 3-2 challenge where we can talk about what you're doing. We'll talk to you on the radio during the week and let everyone know and inspire so many people. We're going to be back with more of the Power Hour. But we're listening to our musical guest host, the immensely talented Al Jarreau. Stay right where you are. What, how much time we got there, Pistol? Does that mean 30 seconds? Okay, I like that. We got 30 seconds. We'll come back and we're going to talk more about self-acceptance and self-esteem. And finally, more, the final chapter on the final steps of goal setting. So, my name is Mac Newton, and you're listening to The Power Hour. We meet every week right here on KFNX. Be right back. Stay where you are.
CNN Radio, I'm Harry Beadle. Question, what's the economy going to do next year? Answer, how many economists do you know? But most do seem to agree the economy will grow more slowly. Dana Johnson's chief economist at Comerica Bank.
Slower gains in house prices, but also elevated energy prices. And I think a lot of people who have borrowed in the form of adjustable rate mortgages are going to see pretty substantial upward resets on their mortgages.
But there is good news for home buyers. Freddie Mac says rates on 30-year fixed mortgages are their lowest since late October. Nearly 200 homes have now been burned by grass fires in Texas and Oklahoma, fed by drought and gusty winds. At least four deaths are blamed on the fires.
One death is blamed on the rainstorms that have been pounding Northern California for days, and another is on the way. Coastal mountains could get 6 inches of rain. This is CNN Radio.
KFNX 1100 Phoenix.
KFNX News Time, 4:31. Some tense moments in the East Valley. From the KFNX newsroom, here's the latest big story news. I'm Joanne Terry. Gilbert police are searching for a man who stole a car with two young children inside yesterday morning at a post office near Val Vista Drive in Palo Verde. Fortunately, the 8 and 4-year-old kids were found safe a few minutes later. Their mother's car was located a short distance away. The suspect is described as a white man, 16 to 30 years old, with a medium build. He has a thin mustache and was wearing an orange shirt, a blue baseball cap, and black gloves. Anyone with information is urged to contact authorities in Gilbert. Police in West Phoenix are investigating a gruesome discovery. Human remains were found stuffed inside a mattress near 23rd Avenue and Buckeye Road yesterday. Detectives say residents in the neighborhood stumbled upon what they thought was a pile of garbage in an alley. It turned out to be two bodies wrapped in a mattress. Investigators don't know how long the bodies had been in the alley, but that the victims may have been murdered elsewhere and later dumped. Well, there's only a few days left in 2005, and the IRS says now would be a good time to look through your records and see if you want to itemize or not. IRS spokesman Bill Brunson says this is still a good time to make a charitable contribution.
Whether it be a cash donation or non-cash items, folks can contribute to a pension fund or an IRA account so that they can take full advantage of that deferral of income until they retire.
Let's see what's happening once again on those roadways.
And again, good afternoon, everybody. I'm John Dormey here live in the KFNX 1100 News Talk Radio Traffic Center. Right now, we have an accident working out at Ellsworth Road and the Hunt Highway in the East Valley. Also in Mesa at Main Street and Elma School. There's another at Central Avenue in Bethany. Also at Bell Road at Grand Avenue. Also another one outbound Grand Avenue that's going to be just south of Greenway. And that's way up in the El Mirage area. So if you're up in that area, use some caution. Also, southbound the 101 is slowing now. Indian Bend down toward Baseline. And then watch out for a collision eastbound on the Loop 202. That's going to be approaching 24th Street. Well, the support of service of 1-800-SAFE-AUTO. Safe Auto knows their customers and their needs better than anybody else does. Safe Auto shows it with a slogan that gets right to the point. And that's 1-800-SAFE-AUTO. We keep you legal for less. That's traffic. I'm John Dormey, live in the 1100 News Talk Radio Traffic Center.
Hi, everybody. Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Looks like we'll have a pretty good New Year's weekend despite the California storms. Any rain should stay north of the valley. We'll have periods of clouds from time to time, and high temperatures will lower to the upper 60s. I'm Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Currently in downtown Phoenix, it's partly cloudy and 68 degrees.
Next news in 30 minutes or when it breaks on KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100. I'm Joanne Terry. You're up to date.
Happy New Year from the Scottsdale Center for the Performing Arts. Ring in 2006 with great performances, such as the return of the smash hit Menopause the Musical, the world-renowned pipa player Woo Man in a multimedia performance, pianist Louis Lortie as part of the Virginia G. Piper Steinway Concert Series, jazz great McCoy Tyner, mentalist Mark Salem, Mandy Patinkin in concert, and more. Whether you enjoy jazz, world music, classical performances, or the theater, you will find the performance you are looking for at the Scottsdale Center for the Performing Arts. So let the arts inspire, motivate, and entertain you. For information on tickets, call 480-994-ARTS or visit scottsdaleperformingarts.org. That's 480-994-ARTS or scottsdaleperformingarts.org.
This is Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX 1100 Phoenix.
There's a land where lovers dream, where poets dream.
Welcome back to the Power Hour, guys, gals.
We can sail to.
We're listening to the unique vocal stylings of Al Jarreau, one of my favorite singers. And I chose him today simply because his story so mirrors so many of our lives. Grow up with a talent, But seeing no way that it'll possibly blossom and become a star. So he gives up on his talent and goes another direction. He's a good student. It wasn't really meant to be. Then he decided it is meant to be. If I want it, it's meant to be. And if it's to be, it's up to me. That was his attitude. We talked about it. And he pursued it. And he's recognized worldwide as a great musical star. This may be your day to make a decision. To keep going in the direction you're going, or to recognize that true talent that's blazing and burning inside of you. The one you can't forget about, that you dream about at night. The one that you can't almost talk to anyone else about because no one understands the way you do. Or maybe only your mom. Maybe you can talk to her about it. Well, maybe today. We've got 2 days to make a decision. Start on the first. Take little steps and go for it. Yep. Yep. This is the day. Let's chase it. Let's go after it. Make your life really mean something for you. Skip the doubt. Forget about it. Make it real. Welcome back to the Power Hour. So many times I've listened to music and let it inspire me to take a chance. Take a chance. Take a chance. For those of you who needed that email again, if you want to get on, be part of the 3-2 challenge, that's ntkd@macnewton.com. Jesse, earlier in the show, I told you I had to make a clarification. We're talking over the last 2 weeks about responsibility psychology. We drew the response, the negative emotion tree. Remember that?
I do.
And the psychology of, if it's to be, it's up to me. Cutting through the trunk of blame by saying, I am responsible. And going over certain areas of our lives. I'm responsible for my actions. I'm responsible for my happiness. I'm responsible for my behaviors, my level of communication. We talked about these things. And with some of the emails I got during the week, I want to make a clarification on a couple of things. Now, when I stress that we need to take responsibility for our life and for our happiness, I'm not suggesting that a person never suffers through accident or through the fault of others. Nor am I suggesting that a person is responsible for everything that may happen to him or her. I don't support that grandiose notion that I am responsible for every aspect of my existence and everything that befalls me. Some things we have control over, others we don't. If I hold myself completely responsible for matters beyond my control, it's at that point I actually put my self-esteem, in other words, how much I like myself, in jeopardy, since inevitably I will fail my expectations. Now, if I deny responsibility for matters that are within my control, again, I jeopardize my self-esteem. I need to know the difference between that which is up to me and that which is not. The only consciousness over which I have this total rational control is my own consciousness. Now, I think it's easy in work situations to observe the difference between those who practice self-responsibility and those who don't. Self-responsibility shows up as an active orientation to the work and to the lives of these people rather than a passive one. I mean, if there is a problem, men and women who are self-responsible ask this question: what can I do about it? What avenues of action are possible for me? I call these people not only self-responsible, I call them winners. They always say, what can I do about it? What can be done about it? Losers always say, it's not my fault. I didn't do it. Winners and losers, let's define that. Just let's stay on that track just a little bit longer, okay, Jesse?
Okay.
When faced with problems, how do you react? Winners say, let's find out. Losers say, nobody knows. When faced with problems, winners always say, I was wrong. Where do we go from here? Losers say, wasn't my fault. Don't blame me. Don't look at me. Winners always want to know, where do we go from here? What's next? Losers are always worrying about apportioning out blame. If it is important to find out who's responsible, we'll get around with that after we've done what's important now. Winners say, I'm good, but not as good as I can be. Losers are saying, well, at least I'm not as bad as a lot of other folks. Winners are saying, there's got to be a better way to do this. I know there is. I'm going to look for it. Losers are saying, well, that's the way it's always been done around here. That's a loser. That's, you know, sometimes employees can go to their boss and say, here's an idea. And the boss will say, wait a minute. We've never done anything like that around here. Know what you're talking. You're talking to a loser. A winner goes through a problem, learns from it. A loser tries to go around it and never, ever gets past it. A winner makes commitments. A loser makes promises. People say to me, well, you going to do this? You promise? I don't make promises. I make commitments. I'd rather have 5 seconds of commitment than 5 years of promises, because promises, it seems, are always made to be broken, and they ultimately always are. Winners ask, what did I overlook? How can I correct the situation? They don't go around protesting, but no one told me what to do. It's not my job. They indulge neither in alibis nor in blaming. Winners are solution-oriented. That's what I mean about responsibility psychology. In every organization, we encounter both types of these kind of peoples. People who wait for someone else to provide a solution, they wait for someone else to do it, and those who take responsibility for getting it done. And it's only by the grace of the people in the second group that organizations are able to operate effectively. You understand what I'm talking about now?
I do.
See, I got several emails wanting to clarify that point. It's important, as I said before, for us to know the difference between that which is up to me and that which is not up to me. And sometimes the wisdom to know the difference. Okay. I also want to spend just a couple of minutes here right at the end of the year to tie two other things that we've talked about a lot in this first year of the Power Hour on KFNX. The self-acceptance and the self-esteem issues. And I want to give you that exercise. And I think we've got just about enough time to get this done. As I've said to you before, Jesse, self-acceptance is that precondition, that foundation. It's the concrete slab for change and growth. So if I'm confronted with a mistake that I've made, and if I accept that it is mine, now I'm free to learn from it, and I can do better in the future. I cannot learn from a mistake that I will not accept having made in the first place. Neither can I forgive myself for an action that I will not acknowledge having taken in the first place. And if you'll remember, Jesse, one of the very first topics we talked about back in June was forgiveness and its role in our ultimate success. The three-pronged approach to forgiveness: our parents, everyone else, and ourselves. The road to true healing goes through forgiveness. If I refuse to accept that sometimes I live unconsciously, how will I learn to live consciously? If I refuse to accept that often I live irresponsibly, how will I ever learn to live more responsibly? If I refuse to accept the fact that often I live passively, how will I learn to become an active participant in my life? I cannot overcome a fear whose reality I deny. I cannot correct a problem in the way I deal with my friends and my coworkers if I will not admit it exists. I cannot change things about myself I insist I don't have. I cannot forgive myself for an action that I will not acknowledge having taken. One of my clients, Jesse, once became very upset with me when I attempted to explain these ideas to her. And she screamed at me. She said, how do you expect me to accept my horribly low level of self-esteem? I don't like myself at all. She demanded of me. If you do not accept the reality of where you are now, I told her, how can you imagine that you can ever begin to change? To understand this point, we must remind ourselves that accepting does not necessarily mean liking. Enjoying, it doesn't mean liking, enjoying, or condoning. I can accept what is and be determined to grow from that point. It is not acceptance, but denial that leaves me stuck in the past, that leaves me stuck in underachievement. I cannot be truly for myself. I can't really build high levels of self-liking or self-esteem if I cannot accept myself as I am right here and right now. As Shakespeare said, warts and all. In talking about this self-acceptance, we have to understand that it entails the idea of being a friend to yourself. In other words, an idea of compassion. Suppose I've done something that I don't like, that I regret, or which I'm ashamed, or which I'm really sorry for. Self-acceptance doesn't deny reality. It doesn't argue that what is wrong is really all right, but it does inquire into the context in which this action was taken. It wants to understand the why. It wants to know why something that was so wrong felt desirable or even necessary when you did it. How could something that seemed so right turn out so wrong? Self-acceptance inquires into that context. We want to know the why sooner or later. We don't understand another human being when we know only what he or she did that is wrong, unkind or destructive or whatever. We need to know the internal person that prompts the behavior. There's always some context in which even the most offensive behavior can make some kind of sense. This doesn't mean that it's justified, only that it can be understood. I can condemn some action I've taken and still have a compassionate interest in the motives or the ideas behind it. I can still be a friend to myself. This has nothing to do with alibiing. I can kind of hear you thinking. It has nothing to do with rationalizing or avoiding responsibility. Because I'm saying after I take responsibility for what I've done, now at this point I can go deeper into the context. A friend of mine might say to me, hey, Mac, that was beneath you, man. That wasn't worthy of you. Now tell me, what made it feel like a good idea when you did it, or at least one you could defend? Now I can even say that to myself. I've found in dealing with my clients and with myself that this kind of accepting, compassionate behavior, well, while it doesn't necessarily stop, you know, undesired behavior, but it does reduce the likelihood of it reoccurring. Just as when we need to correct, critique other people, we should wish to do so in ways that doesn't damage their self-esteem or reduce how much they like themselves. Since future behavior is going to be shaped by this self-esteem and self-concept, we should bring the same type of benevolence to ourselves. I think that right there, Jesse, is the very core, the very virtue of self-acceptance. Now, here's the exercise. Here's the exercise. This is very important for everyone. Maybe one of the most powerful things we've talked about all year in the Power Hour, and I've intentionally saved it for this last show of 2005. Spent so much time talking about self-liking, and I can tell by the emails that you're getting it, gang. You're getting it. And we're going to build on this foundation of self-acceptance and let them be work in a harmonious atmosphere. Sometimes I use this exercise to introduce my clients to this whole idea of self-acceptance. I often like to begin with this simple little exercise. I think it's a profound learning experience. What I want you to do is stand in front of a full-length mirror and look at your face and your body. want you to take note of how you feel when you do this. I'm asking you to focus not on the clothes or the makeup, but on you. So, actually, I'm going to ask you to do this completely naked. And stand in front of the mirror, a full-length mirror. If you're like me, you're going to probably like some of the parts that you see more than others. If you're like most people, you'll find some parts very difficult to look at for long because, well, they're going to agitate you. You don't like it. In your eyes, there may be some pain that you don't want to keep looking at because you're too fat or you're too thin. Perhaps like me, you've got scars. Perhaps there's some other aspect of your body that you so dislike that you can hardly bear to keep looking at it. Perhaps you see signs of age, and you can't bear to stay connected with that, or even the thoughts or emotions that are coming from inside of you. So your thought right now, your impulse is tremendous to escape. You want to stop doing it. You want to flee. You want to run from the awareness that this vision is creating inside of you. You want to reject it. You want to deny. You want to disown these aspects of yourself physically. It's most important to stay where you are right now. Still, as an experiment, stay right there. Stay focused on your image in the mirror. If it's for a little while longer, and say to yourself these words, whatever my defects or imperfections may be, I accept myself without reservations and completely. I'll say it again so you can remember it. Whatever my defects or imperfections may be, I accept myself without reservations and completely. Stay focused, gang. Breathe deeply and say these words over and over for the remainder of the two-minute process. Allow yourself to experience fully the meaning of your words as you say them. You may find yourself arguing with yourself, saying, but I don't like things about me. How can I accept them without reservations? But remember, I said earlier, accepting doesn't necessarily mean liking. Accepting does not mean we can't imagine or wish for changes or improvements. It means experiencing without denial or avoidance that a fact is a fact. In this case, it means accepting that the face and the body in the mirror is your face and your body, and they are what they are. If you persist, if you surrender to the reality of what is, if you surrender to this awareness, which is really what accepting ultimately means, gang, you may notice that you've begun to relax a bit at this point and you feel maybe a little bit more comfortable with yourself, certainly more real. Even though you may not like or enjoy everything you see, when you look in the mirror, you're still able to say, right now, that's me. And I don't deny the fact. I accept it. And that is total respect for reality. Now, if you commit to do this exercise for 2 minutes once a week, you'll soon begin to experience the relationship between self-acceptance and self-esteem. In other words, like has been said, I think it was Ralph Waldo Emerson that said, a mind that honors sight honors itself. But more than that, I think, let me ask you this. How can self-esteem not suffer when you are in a rejecting relationship to your own body? Let me ask you that, Jesse. How much you like yourself not suffer if you are in a relationship where you are rejecting or hating elements of your own physical being? Is it realistic, really, to imagine that we can love ourselves while despising what you see in the mirror? I can't imagine it. Well, if you're anything like me, you'll make an important discovery about yourself if you do this. Not only do you enter into this harmonious relationship with yourself, not only do they begin to grow in self-liking and self-respect, but if aspects of the self, of your body, or yourself that you do not like are within your power to change, now you are motivated to make the changes. Once you have accepted the facts as they are, we are not moved to change those things whose realities we deny, because in our mind they don't exist. And for those things we cannot change, when we accept them, we grow stronger. For those things we cannot change, when we accept them, we grow stronger. We grow more centered. We become more calm. But when we curse and we hit and we protest, we disempower. Is that a word? Mm-hmm. Okay. Disempower ourselves. If you do this, especially those of you who are going to give me on the 3-2 challenge, whether you're on the show or not, it can be one of the most profound experiences of self-acceptance, maybe of your entire adult life. Take some time to try it. It allowed me to accept the deformities of my body, the fact that my knee doesn't look like a knee anymore, that my leg is not shaped in the shape that it was before. In order for me to go on to the things I'm going to accomplish, I have to accept myself as I am. I have to accept that scar down the center of my chest. I have to accept that where it tees into another scar across the center of my stomach. I have to accept that. That's me. And I think it's okay. I'm really glad that you guys are with me here on the Power Hour, because you give me a chance to talk about the things that I want to hear myself say. And I can continue to grow and validate my mom's life. For those of you who don't know, my mom died when she was 15, and I was 3 months old. And we were abandoned by my dad. And my life has been a struggle of compensating for this for a long time. And one of the things I've always wanted to do is make my mom's life meaningful. And one of the ways I figured I could only do that was to build myself. Thanks for being there. Last show of 2005. Be true to yourselves. Want to send out some thanks to JC out there in San Fran, Bob Adlock, Jesse, thanks for having you on the board.
Thank you.
Pistol, you're the man behind the window, buddy. All the folks here at KFNX, 1100 AM. It's been a pleasure. Remember, the credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by the dust and sweat and blood, and strives valiantly. If he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. Happy New Year. 3, 2, 1. Peace. I'm out.
The Power Hour is sponsored by A Path to Power, A Master's Guide to Conquering Crisis, a book for the new millennium by Mac Newton with Michelle St. George.
This book will push you to explore a provocative and vital path that will stretch your mind and challenge you to unleash the extraordinary person inside you. If you're serious about life, you owe it to yourself to read this book. Here's what others are saying. Pat Murphy, head coach ASU baseball team, says this work